You are now listening to a member of the Disney Podcast family. Head over to Disney Podcast Family on Instagram to see all the latest posts for this show and links to other great Disney podcasts.
Hey, I'm Ray Parker. I played Darth Maul, Phantom Menace, and Solo, A Star Wars Story, and G.I. Joe, Snake Eyes, and you're listening to Disney Universe Podcast.
We would be honored if you would join us.
To infinity and beyond!
I'm very popular, y'all!
You are without doubt the worst pirate I've ever heard of.
But you have heard of me.
I only hope that we never lose sight of one thing. That it was all started by a mouse.
What is up, everybody? We are on location here at MouseCon for episode 123, or what we learned from Sesame Street, 123.
123.
I am here. This is your co-host, Joey. What's up? I'm here with co-host, Alex.
Hello.
What is going on, man? This is your first convention?
It's my first con.
Yeah, it's a good one to be at.
Yes. Hey, why don't they call the artists here con artists? Should they not be?
I need my soundboard for this one.
When did Fozzie the Bear walk in?
Waka waka. So we're going to be recording all day throughout the convention, talking to some friends, some guests, some cosplayers, everybody. We're lucky to be next to good friends sent from Disney, the Disneyland nurse, and Leo, who's runs the Sacramento
NorCal Disneyana.
Enthusiasts, a group that I'm a part of but haven't been there in like 3 years because I blame work, but we're getting back together. So we'll be talking to them throughout the show, but we got some
housekeeping.
So first of all,
mousekeeping.
Yeah. That's a good one. So we are in at MouseCon in Concord. We're in a nice little hallway here. It's a lovely hallway right in front of the vendor booth. Guest of the show that you hopefully will be hearing is a recent guest of the show, Josh Schaefer, Jeff Bam, Matt Robinson, and his wife, because she's got a booth selling some of her awesome art and knickknacks. But
I see Sack Anime.
Sack Anime is going to be coming here, I think, January. I got a creepy evil queen mask looking at me right now, but that's besides the point. Housekeeping. We'd like to give a special shout out and thanks to our good friends of the show, the crew of the show, the DU crew. It's on our Patreon. If you want to support the show, just check out our Patreon at www.patreon.com/DU crew, and you'll be able to hang out with good friends and family such as our super fans, Jennifer, Sasquatch, Alfredo, and John. Looking forward to seeing John at a future con. That we'll be talking about very soon.
John Con. I call him my pen pals, by the way. I promise not to always shout this out, but I did send everybody postcards from Disney World. Shout out, sent from Disney World, not sent from Disneyland, our friends over here. And we'll be sending postcards to everybody from Disneyland on my next trip. So remember, if you join the DU crew, you can be one of my pen pals too.
Yeah, I think we'll send them some postcards that are advertising the upcoming Disneyland Nurse Day that we'll be talking about soon.
April 27th?
Yep.
April 27th, Nurses Day in the park. Scientifically proven to be the safest day to go to Disneyland.
Absolutely. And another way to support the show, Alex, how can they do that?
Obviously, you're already doing it by listening to us, but as well, we appreciate liking and following us on our social media outlets, on Twitter, on Facebook. Our main place where we love to interact with you all is on Instagram, and of course on YouTube, Disney Universe TV. That's a great place where you can see video companions of some of these audio episodes that you listen to. We also have great reactions to a lot of the new Marvel and Star Wars content on Disney Plus. as well as unboxings, parks content, all kinds of Disney Universe fun with visual aid. So be sure to go over to YouTube, give us a follow over there, and check out all the awesome content we have on Disney Universe TV on YouTube.
Of course, and we'd like to also shout out good friends, Neverland Trading. Great place to get Disney t-shirts, accessories, and more.
Yeah, I think the holiday collection should be
just came out.
Out.
Yeah.
And I mean, we're at November 1st, right? That's holiday time.
So check them out at neverlandtrading.com. And if you go to the checkout, hit the promo code DVERC, that's DVERC, and you get a nice little discount. And, of course, our good friends at Discore Apparel, where Disney and music collide. Perfect, really cool mashups of Disney with punk, rock, and some hip-hop albums. Yeah. I'm wearing the Powerline shirt right now. The recent offering. So check them out, Discore Apparel. That's www.dizcore.com. And get you some cool shirts. Yep. And some pins.
Shirts, pins.
Yeah.
Awesome, independently created Disney merch. That's what we're out here supporting, our friends and like-minded Disney fans creating awesome stuff. I'm repping some independent merch, not affiliated with the podcast, but I came decked out in my Haunted Mansion garb here today with stuff from Glad Racket and Foolish Mortal Supply Company.
That guy is Dodger from Oliver Company.
Hey, I want to take your Joel's picture. Billy Joel's in the house. Billy Joel's here.
Can I get your picture?
Of course.
Oh, I got a selfie.
See, that's what happens when a podcast happens live. We talk about what we see.
That's awesome.
But we're going to get into our news for this episode 1, 2, 3. And of course, we're here at a happy event, but we want to start with something that is sad. We lost a Disney legend this week. Alice Davis, I believe, passed away 3 days ago. But she was 93 years old, known for being one of the main dress designers in Imagineering, specifically for the costuming in Haunted Mansion. It's a Small World. She was the wife of Disney
Pirates.
Imagineer. Or sorry, did I say Pirates?
Probably everything.
I said Haunted Mansion. Yeah. I meant Pirates. Pirates and It's a Small World. Wife of Imagineer and Disney legend Mark Davis. I think my favorite memory from the, I don't remember if this is from something you told me or from the Imagineering story, in how Walt told her to design the costumes for It's a Small World as if it was something that you or any person would wear to the finest event.
Yeah.
And, just thinking about how that detail went into all those costumes is something that, for dolls, is something that I think about every time I'm on that ride.
Yeah, and then he loved it, and it's like, cool, I want two for each character.
Right.
Or something like that. So definitely missed. Disney icon for sure. It makes me I got to watch Imagineering story again anyways, just because it's that time of year where you just want to watch that stuff.
Oh, it's on repeat for me. I'll definitely be getting that in. I don't know if we'll see her in that new Mickey Mouse documentary coming out.
Yeah, but I'm not sure. But yeah, definitely rest in peace, Alice Davis.
Rest in peace, Alice Davis. And, definitely if you're not familiar, do a little Google search and learn about one of the Disney Imagineering greats and all the Imagineering greats.
Yeah. And we're pretty skim on the news. And this isn't really news, but, you guys know we're looking forward to Black Panther Wakanda Forever. And so, we're not really doing any predictions, but one thing we kind of want to do is box office predictions. And so we got the top five, and top five of these are pretty much Disney IP.
So these are the top five opening weekend box office of all time.
Is it worldwide or US?
I'm not sure, but we will make sure we go back to the same website when we are trying to verify where Black Panther ranks among these, if it even ranks among these. So the top five opening weekend releases, number five is Scribbly Scribble Scribble. I'm
the
looking
Last
at
Jedi.
Joe's notes. The Last Jedi. Thank you. That's 220 million opening weekend. Number four, Star Wars The Force Awakens. That was 247 million opening weekend. Number three, Avengers Infinity War at $257 million. Number two is Spider-Man No Way Home with $260 million. And this one I thought was significant as it is the top grossing opening weekend of the post-COVID timeline that we're currently living in. So to kind of help us make our guesses for Black Panther, Wakanda Forever. And the number one opening weekend take, I've got to see if I'm even looking at this right because it's so much higher than number two. Avengers Endgame with $357 million opening weekend box office. That's amazing. Yeah. That's almost an entire $100 million ahead of the second place. I don't think we're going to see that from Wakanda Forever, but I think we could very well land in that top five. I mean, if Spider-Man did it.
I think... For gauging, I guess,
Black Panther, the original Black Panther, was number eight on this list with $202 million opening weekend box office.
Yeah. So I would think Wakanda Forever, I'm saying it's going to be in the ball. I won't do ballpark. I'll just say about 280.
So that would definitely get it on this list.
I think it's going to open ahead of No Way Home. That's so hard to tell, though. You know what? Not that quite that much. I'll say 265.
Yeah, see, I want to see it up there and high. I just don't. Looking at these movies on this list and knowing that most of them came from before a time where, you know, not everyone was. Or now in a time where people are less inclined to want to go out in public spaces, although more so inclined than where we have been, I'm going to say it's going to fall right around, but a little bit higher than the original. So I'm going to say, I'm going to do the Price is Right on The Last Jedi.
$1.
And we're going to call it $221 million.
Okay.
$221 million to put it on the top five of the list, but not over, and I'm hoping they overshoot my number, but
yeah. And I'm only going high because when we were talking about the first Black Panther with a friend of the show, Sandra, you know, we were talking about the not really like a review of Black Panther, but it was more like the impact that it's had. And I think that's even grown with the sequel coming out. So that's why I picked a high number.
Well, and looking at kind of, you know, I was separating it as to post-COVID releases and pre. But you can even just call it Marvel Phase 4. We had Spider-Man No Way Home, number 2 on this list. Also number 11 on the list. I don't have the exact number, but was Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness. I know we both went out to see both of those opening weekend. We have our tickets for Black Panther, you know, Thursday night, as early as we could. So by the time you're listening to this, I'm betting I'll have already seen it twice.
Yeah.
At least once. I've already got tickets. So who knows? Maybe I'll be stuffing the ballot box a little bit to get them over that finish line. Definitely, I guess by the time this comes out, we'll already know the answer. But let us know in the comments if you went to go see Black Panther on opening weekend, if you went to see Wakanda Forever at all. And, of course, as always, let us know your thoughts because whether it be on our next podcast episode or over on YouTube at Disney Universe TV, you know we're going to be talking and getting together talking about Wakanda Forever. So we always look forward to sharing your thoughts on these things as well.
Oh, my God. I just did the mind calendar right now. I just realized it's this Thursday. So
is this? Yes. This
oh, my
Thursday.
Gosh. Crazy.
Very much looking forward to it.
Well, we're looking forward to the rest of the day here at MouseCon, 7th annual MouseCon. And so hope you guys enjoy these nice little transitions and edits throughout the rest of the episode, and we'll talk to you soon. All right, so just, you know, hanging out here in MouseCon, this sneaky son of a gun, friend of the show. Can I say, I guess, my new podcast boss in a way?
Oh, no,
show?
I've been no boss.
You guys remember him from D23 Expo, the fun time we had. Sean from Walt's Apartment. What's up, man?
What's up, man? How are you? I'm glad to be here. This is...
Oh, I know.
It's nice.
You literally walked through the door, and I'm like, because I was like, are you going to come? I don't know. It's kind of tough because, I mean, you drove from home.
I drove 5 hours to get here, but yeah. But no, it's I was talking to you yesterday, and I said, you excited? And I knew I was coming at that time. You're like, oh, yeah, and Alex will be on. And I'm like, okay, perfect. I'm like, yeah. And then I walk. First thing you walk in, you're like, guys, like, right here, which is so cool.
Yeah.
This is cool. This is fun.
Yeah, it's
I've
a great
only
time.
Been a D23 in this, so this is really cool. I like the it's a cool vibe.
Yeah, and I think that's interesting because this is my first con experience, and I like to think of it as the way we did our hotels in Disney World, and you want to start at the Value Resort and work your way up to the deluxe.
Right.
So being that you started with the deluxe con and worked your way down to the value, and no disrespect, because we know they all have their merits. What do you think of MouseCon?
Well, I'm not going to lie to you. My first experience at D23 was the Legends panel, and we walk out of there, and they open up those big ass doors. Oh, sorry, those big doors. And
you can say
ass. And I walk out, and Joey says, "Well, we'll meet you over here." And I'm like, "Where the hell am I?" I've never been overwhelmed. I'm a planner. I like to have everything planned, know what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. And I had no idea where I'm in the middle of this convention center with people just bumping into me. I'm like, "I can't do this.
And
I can't do this for 3 days. There's no way." And
And to paint the picture, the big doors that he's talking about are these giant 30, 40, 50 feet doors. That just
holding 7,000 people.
And it just opens and then
electric.
Bam.
Electric. Yeah. I was like, who can even move that?
And then you're in the middle of this busy show floor.
D23, like, what the hell? I mean, you don't know anything. Look at that guy. That's great.
Yeah. And it literally looks like the scene. I mentioned it on a Ralph Breaks the Internet, but
yeah,
when they're in the Disney OMG section,
everything, Disney.
Yeah, that's what it looks like. So,
but this, I mean, but comparing this to that, like you asked, Alex, this, I love this because this was my favorite. The stuff they have here, when me and Joy are walking around, mm-hmm. the like more vintage stuff, like the more like the vendor stuff, I thought was way more cool than the obviously the coolest of Pandora and the park stuff and LG was all huge, but like the stuff that people are just
Mrs. selling, Matt Robinson,
just absolutely great. So.
Hello.
Yeah, the vendors, I think I like to say, are, well, not necessarily vendors specifically, but the creators are the ones what make the community so great. I know I mentioned already earlier that I'm wearing, I'm representing the Haunted Mansion, but wearing things from different independent artists. And I'm looking forward to getting out and strolling around. We were looking at some of the stuff that you've already come. I'm like, all right, he was only walking around there for about an hour, and he's got two fists full of stuff.
It's pretty easy to spend money.
So my wallet has me, like, I should probably sit with the candy at the table.
You might want to.
But my waistline is like, leave the candy and go do damage on your wallet. So I think both of them are going to be a little, well, one's going to be lighter, the other's going to be heavier at the end of the day.
For sure. No, it's really cool, the stuff they have in there. So cool, like the old ride, poster, the little 10x17. I got some pictures from an artist, which...
Show and tell.
I got
Wanda. Wanda, yeah. Nice.
That's my gal.
Uh-huh.
You know that, right?
I do.
And then there's this guy, my other favorite guy, so...
Yes. Yeah. Dead Thanos? Deadnos? Yeah.
Deadpool.
Yeah. Thanpool?
They have the same picture as Mickey Mouse holding this, but the fist is closed.
Oh.
That's very appropriate. He does hold all the Infinity Stones right now.
These are two things I needed to get, for sure. So.
Well, I came into this saying my goal is to find a vintage Walt Disney or a Disneyland ticket book. I've already looked online. I know finding a complete one is hard, but finding one with some tickets missing.
I didn't see a ticket book. I saw Matt, the your tattoo artist. He has like this really cool like plaque that looks like the ticket book. It's pretty cool.
One of the cool things I found at the parks, I believe it was around the 55th anniversary. It was definitely before the 60th. It was a notepad, but it's designed to look like a ticket book. And so every 10 or so pages is, you know, A, B, C, D ticket. And, you know, it's kind of faded so you can see what it was, but still write notes on it. I'm thankful that I pack rat things so much because it is somewhere still intact condition. So I'll get that dug out and displayed
for
at some point.
Yeah.
Never to be written on.
Yeah, and we had to call Sean up here real quick because as quick as he came here, he's leaving real soon.
I am, yeah. So. I just want to come check it out. It's very cool. I'm glad I came down. It's very, very fun.
And when I was saying technically podcast boss.
No, stop.
for those of you that don't know, I have recently joined officially the Walt's Apartment Podcast.
Get your shirt.
I got to get a shirt.
Then
so,
it'll be five.
Y'all got a lot of roommates in that apartment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I sleep on the couch.
Top bunk.
This is fun. I even like they have like a little podcast row out here.
Oh,
this
yeah, it's cool.
Cool.
This is a Sacramento area.
Is there more than just, or is this only two podcasts?
I think this
here?
Is this is it right now.
Yeah, so. I haven't seen, well, I haven't been out yet, but I'm pretty sure we're the only podcast going on. So.
But before you leave, I mean, can you tell our listeners a little bit about Walt's apartment? What you guys got? What we, well, I can we, say
there you
we,
go, there you go.
Got coming up soon.
Coming up soon?
Or whatever.
We're doing an interview with Provost Park Pass at the end of the month, so that'll be cool. I'm trying to think what else have I done. We did just an interview with Danny and just asked Danny and David from TikTok. They have their own podcast, the 5571. We have all of our shows. I'm hoping with you coming on board, we'll get Star Wars up and going again. So we'll get Knights of the Old Republic going again, and we have Extra Magic Hour, and we have Main Street View, Marvel Tribe, our live show. Yeah, yeah, a lot of stuff coming up.
Yeah.
Yeah,
definitely fun. Love being part of the crew. So,
then we get Alex on eventually. So.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I'm always down to join in all the avenues. And
except Wednesday nights.
I was jealous. Except Wednesday nights. Yeah. Well, if you guys all come down to Rancho Cordova for our bingo night, which is where I work on Wednesday nights, I can get in between bingo games and we can get an episode in.
So Rancho but Cordova, I was that's out by Joey.
Yeah, it's out by Sacramento.
Okay.
I was jealous when you guys were all at the park together around D23. I mean, that's the vibe I miss when we met, you know, through Disney Facebook community, just being at the parks with other very like-minded Disney fans. And I'm not talking the casual fans, you know.
One of my favorite trips, I think, because
me too.
Everyone that just completely enjoyed it. We had so much fun and
So I think we're already cooking next year. I know I've told you guys many times.
About, things,
my birthday, 40th
year.
Birthday next year. Yeah. We got a 50th
you
birthday
40,
next year. A 45th birthday next year. And they're all around the same time.
I'm in the middle.
Yeah. We have to figure that out. You're in October.
August.
Okay, yeah.
We are also going to be going to
Sam
Disneyland
birthday, right?
For his birthday.
Wait, is yours the 12th?
Because the Giants.
Lewis and Sam have the same birthday.
Giants play the Angels on his birthday.
Oh, okay.
So we're planning to be down in Anaheim for that. He'll be in San Diego for a Tiki event.
Tiki Oasis.
I will be in San Diego the following weekend, and right in between is Giants Angels. So
right
that'll be a good trip, too.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, so, dude, you surprised me.
Like the Parent Trap, baby.
So funny.
That's one of my favorite Disney songs.
Walking in immediately, too. The first thing I see walking in is Joey's beautiful face.
Oh,
my gosh, it's like right there, you know?
Well, glad you're able to make it.
For sure.
Yeah, glad you got some nice souvenirs.
Yeah.
So, and you're always, like, I mean, anytime you want to come on Disney Universe, I talk to you daily. So.
Absolutely, for sure.
All right, buddy. And tell people where they can... follow you guys
can find us. Just the easiest thing I would say at this point is a Google Walt's Apartment Podcast, because that takes you to everything. It takes you to our website, it takes you to our Facebook page, our Instagram pages, Apple, Spotify, all that stuff. You can find us anywhere. So yeah, I appreciate you guys. You guys are the best.
Absolutely, man.
All right, thanks.
Let's get together. Yeah.
And officially, Sean's my favorite Dodger fan. I'll say that. All right, man.
All right, man. Thank
you. Have a good safe drive home.
See you guys.
We're still having a great time here at MouseCon 2022, 7th annual. And we are here with Kevin from where in the park, Scavenger Hunt. Tell us about what you guys got doing, because this sounds amazing. I can't wait to do this. So.
Yeah, we have Scavenger Hunt games that you play inside of theme parks. So the idea is that we have packs of cards. Every card has an image on it. And the images are hidden in the theming of the park. So you'll go there with friends and family, or you go there by yourself, depends on however you want to do it. You take a pack of our cards and you just start looking. It's kind of like a Where's Waldo game, but the entire park is the book. And it's more challenging than it sounds. So you just say it out loud, it sounds like, oh yeah, that's easy. When you start looking at all the theming in the parks, so they put a lot of effort into the theming of the parks.
Yeah.
So when you pick out one part and we kind of cut it out so you can't tell the size or anything, it's just an image. And it could be big or small, up high, down low, could be anywhere. Except for we stay out of the lines of the rides, we stay off the rides. So if you go there to the parks and say like the lines are all 2 hours long, you don't want to wait in that, you can go on a scavenger hunt instead and have a great time. So that's what we do. It's a lot of fun.
Are there hints available for these scavenger hunts?
I'm glad you asked. Yes, we actually have two different packs, styles. I guess we have three different packs, two different styles of cards. So one style of card actually has a scratch-off hint and a scratch-off answer. So the packs come with your own little wooden coin, so you don't have to worry about having change in your pocket. You go to the park with the pack, everything's in there for you. And if you're having trouble, you're like, I have no idea, I give up. You hit the, just scratch off the hint, and it will nudge you in the direction with little like play on words or something to kind of like get you to the land or to where the ride that's closest to you or something. Mm-hmm. And if that doesn't help you, we give you the answer. So that way you don't leave just frustrated going like, these people, it's not even in the park, you know? Like, we guarantee it's in the park. We even give you a QR code right from the start to let you know, hey, scan this. If we know that this has been hidden by construction walls or by like holiday theming, we're going to give you an alternate card to play with. And you'll know the card that's in your deck is currently hidden behind something. It's not our fault. We don't work for the parks.
Yeah.
We're just fans who created a game for you guys to have fun. And so you can have a hint, definitely, and an answer.
Yeah, I know. I've seen, I think, one of the many, I'm sure we all get many different Disney publications to our email inboxes. One of them finishes each weekly newsletter with a sort of where in the parks type thing, but they're always so zoomed in.
Oh, yeah.
It's pretty ambiguous as to what it could be. So I think that hint could be quite helpful. And I think that's really cool that you guys stay on top of construction and what's going on in the parks to help people out. God knows the last thing you want to do when you've spent close to $200 to be in a park for a day is spend 6 hours looking for where this little green figure is or something, you know?
Yeah, all of our stuff is pretty easy to find, like, at least it's not like just obscure like shapes, you know. It's going to be stuff that's on a sign. It's going to be a figure that you can actually make out. So it's not like it's going to be completely hidden, but you're not going to know where it is off the top of your head for most of them. So if you go there all the time, you're like, yeah, I've seen that one before. Where was it? Which is the greatest experience. If you've never done a scavenger hunt at a theme park before, it's that, oh, I know where that is. Where was it? Then you go where you know it is and it's not there. But then eventually you find it's like, that's where it is. And then every time you go from that point forward, you're going to see that thing and go, yeah, I remember when I went on that scavenger hunt and we had trouble finding that one. And it was right there in front of my face. And it's just a really fun experience.
What inspired you guys to come up with this game?
My wife and I actually were part of a Mouse for Life scavenger hunt. Mouse for Life is a Facebook group who would throw on a yearly scavenger hunt. And hundreds of people would show up to the park on a given day, which you can't really do anymore because of the whole reservation system. Mm-hmm. But we did that 8 years in a row. And we won 7 out of the 8 years.
Oh, wow.
We were serious about it. The way that we were able to be good at it, though, is that we would go to the parks like every weekend leading up to the event and studying every single detail that we can find that we thought, hey, that's interesting.
Right.
So we had where we knew in our heads where things were. So when we get the cards, I'd probably be like 25% of them were like, we know for sure where this is. The other 75, it's like, it could be anywhere. But it's one of those things where it's a lot of fun to at least know like the style of where things are in the parks.
Yeah. And I remember seeing those posted in the group because I was a member of that group too. And I'm like, man, that'd be so much fun just to do one of those team scavenger hunts and everything. And you mentioned that you have clues and everything in packs. Like, so what, how many cards come in a pack or how many packs are there?
We have fun size packs have 8 cards in the pack. And then we have a challenge pack that has 30 cards. That's about the right amount before you start like having to make it like a serious job, essentially, where it takes up your whole day.
Yeah.
If you have more than that, because like the Mouse for Life one was like a stack of 100 pictures, which like we knew that was going to be our day was going to be spent doing nothing but that. What we wanted was something a little more casual. So when we were designing it, it was more, hey, just get a person who isn't going to like be as crazy as we are to like learn every detail of the park, where it just kind of opens your eyes to how amazing the theming is. So 8 cards is pretty good as far as like if you just want to play in between rides. So say you want to go to the parks and still go on rides, obviously. You don't have to dedicate your day to a scavenger hunt. But if you get the 30 card pack, you might be dedicating at least half your day to the scavenger hunt. Or a lot of people, what they do is they buy the 30 pack, especially Magic Key holders, where they will get the pack and they'll go to the park and like, if I find one today, awesome. We'll take that one out of the pack. Next time we go, we'll try to find another one.
Right.
So
like different level ups.
Yeah, exactly.
Is it the type of thing where you could like split it between different groups and?
Well, we have a third option of packs. We have what we call the competition set.
Ooh, okay.
And that one actually comes with 2 packs of the 30 cards from the other pack, mm-hmm. but they're smaller and they don't have the hint or answer on them. So the idea is you have 2 different teams. It could be like 1 to 5 people is what we recommend. of people who will go out to the park, separate into the two groups, and see which group knows the park better. And we still include the hints and the answers, but in sealed envelopes. That way, nice. No one's going to be cheating. Because the hardest thing about a scavenger hunt is if you try to create one, is that you can't go on it. So if you want to have a scavenger hunt with your friends and family, you can't create it and then still participate.
Right.
So we were trying to solve that problem for other people.
This is good. Yeah, I was just saying when Joe mentioned running past your booth that we're doing a big trip for my 40th birthday next year, which may end up encompassing some other birthdays and podcasts. Could be a really big thing. But I had been a part of the Mouse Chat, and I know they did a thing called like the Gumball Rally every...
When you go on all the rides, yeah.
Did you win that one? That's different. That's not a scavenger hunt.
We've been wanting to participate in that one, but we have not. I mean, we've...
They had a really cool trophy one year, I remember. It had like, anyway, tangent. But I was definitely looking into getting like a scavenger hunt or something for my birthday.
Yeah.
But as you said, the problem would be if I create it, then I can't participate in
exactly.
it. And I become the chaperone sitting on a bench waiting for kids to check in.
Yeah, let me know.
I'm not trying to do that on my birthday. this sounds really cool. How about holidays? Do you guys do like a different one for the holidays?
We don't have holiday packs yet. I know we've looked into like a Halloween pack,
mm-hmm.
but it's tough because the theming changes so quickly.
Right.
So to create a pack that's only valid for 2 months, by the time we have it done being made, it's already expired.
Yeah.
So we focus on the stuff that's available year round.
And things change so much year in and year out.
Yeah, exactly.
Huh.
And one thing I saw too that, I mean, yeah, we're at a Disney convention, we're talking about Disneyland, but you also have other parks in the Southern California area, too, which is really cool.
That's true. We have Knott's Berry Farm, Universal Studios Hollywood, and we have SeaWorld that we just unveiled a few weeks ago. Right now, we're actually working on all of the Florida parks.
Oh, awesome.
So we have all the Disney's, all the Universal's, and the SeaWorld out there.
Oh, nice.
That must be some fun research.
It was a lot more strenuous.
More work, yeah.
We did the parks just back-to-back. When you walk through a park, it's a workout.
Right.
But when you're trying to get to every last inch of that park to be able to document it, when you're done with the day, it's like, that was exhausting. Let's do it again tomorrow for another park,
So I guess with that process, it's more like you're going and just trying to photograph everything and then piece it out and find the questions from there.
And try to have it where you have enough photos to be able to figure out where things are after you get back.
Right.
Because that's the tough one. Because, again, we're giving you hints and answers. So we have to know exactly where that image is. So we're just taking images and be like, hey, where is this? And they ask you. It's like, just shrug.
Yeah.
I took that photo. I have no idea where it was, We know exactly where everything is. Because we even had a GoPro on us the whole time, taking a video of every step of our path. So we can go back and what was next to that, So it's a lot of work, but I think from all the feedback that we've had so far, it's been so positive. People have gone on it. It's like, that was a lot more challenging than I thought it was going to be, but it was so rewarding when I found everything I found. And the ones, I asked them, did you use a hint? Most people are like, I refuse to use the hints.
They see a little scratch on the back.
You should have used the hint.
Because if you don't use the hint, you could always come back and do it again next time.
Exactly.
Right? This one's been confounding me for 4 years. And how long have you guys, when did you guys first come out with the first one?
We were here 1 year ago for this event, but back then, actually, we had a different mindset where we were creating arts and crafts based off of scavenger hunt items. So the idea is that we had stickers and coasters and jewelry that were all based off of things you can find in the park, but you don't know where it is. So that's when we created the card to go with the item that you were purchasing to be like, hey, here's something that's in Disneyland.
Yeah.
And we're going to give you a card so that way when you go to the park, bring the card with you and you can try to find out where it is. But we learned kind of quickly that people don't want to buy a coaster or a piece of jewelry off of something that they have no idea what it is, which took us by surprise. We're like, but we love scavenger hunts, so we thought this was amazing.
Yeah.
But people quickly let us know, the cards are amazing. Your products, though, we don't know what they are, so we don't want them. So we're like, you're right. You're not wrong. Just having a pack of cards is the way to go. So that's what we would prefer to have. So that's what we started creating. And it's just kind of been snowballing from there, where every event that we do, we kind of learn some new things and change our... So we first created our first pack of cards. We just had the cards in a pack. We're like, go find those. And then we had a person ask us, oh, it sounds really fun. Are there instructions inside? Uh-huh. We were just like, no, you just go find them. Like, what do you need instructions for? And then we started thinking, like, well, I guess there are rules as far as you don't go in lines for rides and things are up high, down low, big, small. Like, these things that we just took for granted, like, you know this. Yeah. It's like, we should probably inform people about this. So, like,
you know, being a child of the 80s and 90s, you know, when we just grabbed your hunts, you get your list and you left.
Exactly.
You came back, so.
Yeah, we are not a list-based scavenger. We are seek and find scavenger hunt. That's what we've learned to call ourselves over time.
Well, very cool. It looks like a lot of fun. I'm planning on going to the parks in March. Definitely going to get a pack for that. I know you're going to go soon.
Yes, I know where I am going to seek and find you here around the corner.
Oh, yeah.
But for those listening, where can they seek and find you and find themselves a set of the cards?
Yeah, our name is Where in the Park. You can find us at whereinthepark.com. We're also on social media. Any social media you follow, we are at Where in the Park. That's W-H-E-R-E, where, like, where is it in the park? And, yeah, you can actually also find us on Etsy, where you can find our packs for sale.
Cool.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much. As he mentioned,
stocking stuffers coming up, too, by the way.
Yeah, stocking stuffers, Christmas.
Yeah.
Well, our audience is definitely the people, that's why you're here, as the people who would be looking for this. Hopefully you'll see me or listen and hear me talk about my experience with Where in the Park real soon.
On IG Live, for sure.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, guys.
Well, thanks, Kevin.
Really appreciate you.
Cheers.
Pleasure talking to you. All right, so like we mentioned earlier, we've been hanging out with some good local friends of the show, and I've known Leo for a couple years, more than a couple years, part of the Disney group in Sacramento.
Yeah. NorCal Disney enthusiasts. We meet monthly, roughly, except for July because of the park's anniversary. And we meet primarily at the North Natomas Library Branch on, it's usually the second or third Saturday of the month, depending on room availability. We have a Facebook group page, NorCal Disney Enthusiasts, where you can find out a little bit more about the club, a little bit of Disney history. It gives our announced meetings. November's meeting, which is in 2 weeks, we'll be looking at Mickey Mouse because it's November's his birthday month.
Yeah.
So we'll be kind of going over the history of Mickey Mouse, and especially with the new Mickey Mouse D20 Disney Plus film.
Yeah, the new documentary. Yeah,
the new documentary. So we'll be maybe looking at that or at least talking about it before it airs.
Yeah, very cool. And being part of the club, and it's a fun group, people getting together, just like we talk about doing the podcast, just getting Disney fix on everything that we love. Good fun group.
It's a very social group, although we do some community service stuff. We always do Toys for Tots. Our biggest project is because we're meeting at the library, we do a couple fundraisers, and we purchase more than 200 library books, nonfiction Disney library books, which are available throughout the Sacramento County Library System, including some rare and out-of-print books, including Ellenshaw Under Glass, which is about the matte artist Peter Ellenshaw, and Tuneful of Sherman, the Sherman Brothers story, which is another book that's out of print. Quite a bit of Jim Corcus's. I think there's probably 15 titles that we've added of Jim Corcus's books. A lot of theme park press books, but a lot of others as well. Dave Bossart's book about Kem Weber, that was one. So there's quite a few books. You can find them and request them through the Sacramento Library System. They move around, and I was checking earlier today. Some of them are sitting on the shelf. Some of them are checked out. So, they're there for anybody. Because one of the goals of the organization of the club is to kind of spread the news about Disney, Walt Disney, and the people he worked with. And like I said, we also have a social component. We've done ice cream social at Fenton's in Vacaville. Fenton's is the ice cream parlor that's featured in Up. We've had mini miniature golf. We've had picnics in the past. We have a big holiday party with a pirate gift exchange, which is, you know, you steal other people's gifts, and that's always fun. So the meetings are always free because the library requires that. We try to encourage people to join the club officially, but we don't charge anybody for coming to our meetings.
I know you were talking about the books all in the Sacramento library system. Do you have a list somewhere of the specific titles that have been provided, or is there potentially at any of these libraries a Disney nonfiction section? Because this is something that I, as a big fan of Imagineering, will be seeking out.
Yeah, you can look under the author's name. You can look under Disney nonfiction. Some of them came up. Again, Jim Corcus, a lot of his books came up, and they were all of them were books that we donated. It was funny. These are Disney books. A lot of the libraries, unless it's a biography of Walt or a business book, they don't seem to really do much in the history of the parks. You know, Jeff Curdy's Christmas book is one that's there. Even though that's kind of a weird book because it has all inserts, so I don't know how it's held up. We've, like I said, the Ellenshaw Under Glass book is fantastic, and so is the Sherman Brothers. And those are books you just can't buy, except on the secondary market, and some of them are going for several hundred dollars now.
Yeah.
But they're available for anybody to check out.
Right.
And for people that love Disney history and just history on Walt, you also run a great Facebook group.
Yeah, we have, besides the club group, I am co-founder and curator and pretty much the lead guy on It All Started with Walt Disney Facebook page. I also run a Facebook page on automotive stuff, Cars Land Loyal Order of the Lugnuts.
Nice.
So we do a little bit of Cars Land, little comedy with cars, old cars, but that's all auto related. Of course, we've had posts on Bob Gurr and Autopia and other things on that site, but it's broader than Disney.
Yeah.
So those are the three pages that I primarily run. I've also started a page, and it's been dormant, but it's going to get busy again here soon for George Lucas's upcoming museum in Southern California.
Yeah.
The Museum of Narrative Art. So.
What are we, about a year still?
Probably about a year.
Oh, that's
out.
The one they're building right by USC, right?
Yes. Yeah. It was supposed to go in the Presidio.
Yeah.
We were down there for a concert in December, and I noticed all the construction.
Yeah.
That's cool. You mentioned what's upcoming at the probably the next meeting, talking about Mickey Mouse's anniversary. When we were talking earlier here today, you mentioned some guests that you had in the past.
Yeah.
Those are part of meetings, or are those special events?
A little bit of both. We've had guests come to meetings with Jeff Baham. Did his presentation on the Haunted Mansion one year. We had people coming out of the doors. The room can handle about 50 to 60 people, and it was jam-packed for his presentation. We had Jeff Pigeon, storyboard artist and Pixar's Gag Man. He's also the voice of the alien in the Toy Story franchise. He came one year. We've had others. We've had a woman who was Snow White at the park when she was in college or something. She came and talked about her career. We have a cast member, former Disney Store cast member, who's retired, and she's a member of our club. So, and then we've done special events that are paid, and those are fundraisers for the book fund. Dave Bossart came, and we can't do those at the library because of the no fee. So we've held those at Stage 9. And we had him come in and do two talks back to back with a break in the middle. And that went over quite well. And we were able to buy probably about 80 to 90 books based on the funds that we raised from that.
Wow, that's cool.
So,
right on. I appreciate that this is part of our local community up in Sacramento. And I know Joe's already a member, and I'm going to have to work my schedule to get in there. See, from what I understand, the voice of Mickey Mouse is a Sacramento area native as well. So maybe we'll start beating his door down on Instagram. But definitely anybody out there in the Northern California Disney fandom, check it out on Facebook. Yeah.
We have members. They don't come to all the meetings, but we have members from San Francisco, Walnut Creek, Vallejo, Richmond, and then Lodi. So we do. We are a regional draw. There's also a chapter of the organization that the broader organization called the Golden Gate Chapter, and they meet in people's homes, but. Both clubs are looking to rebuild membership after COVID, because COVID not being able to meet kind of decimated club members, and we're slowly building, trying to build back the ranks. We've actually been around for more than 30 years. I think it's 32, but I'm not sure off the top of my head. But we've been around for a long time. We've had four other chapters that have broken off over the years from us, and none of those chapters are around anymore. There was a chapter in Lodi. There was a chapter of college-age students that wanted, and younger people that wanted to have more fun because we were a little bit more adult, although families are welcome to our, and we're family friendly.
That's right. That NorCal Disney fans got a lot of fans here at MouseCon.
Thanks.
Well, thank you very much, Leo. It's been great to meet you and talk to you. And as a student of Disney history, I look forward to seeing you more around and learning more. Yeah.
I'm a student of Disney history and have been for a long time. I'm a former journalist, attended a lot of park events, met a lot of legends, interviewed Ron Miller a couple times. Frequently called him, actually. I had their home phone number and talked to Diane, interviewed Diane. That's I took tours, a hard hat tour twice with Diane while the museum was being built, and actually visited the offices where they were holding a lot of the things that went into the museum, which was about two blocks away from where the museum in the Presidio, and it was a 5-minute firebox. It was scary as hell, the stuff that was in there. And I visited that and took friends to that. Diane was originally thinking about something small, but her son also, son who happens to be named for Walter Elias Disney Miller, he's the one that can talk to his mom into doing something high-tech, modern, state-of-the-art, something that would represent his grandfather. And
they did it perfectly. Yeah. It's a beautiful museum.
Yeah. So Diane called the museum her book. She wasn't very happy about certain myths that got spread about Walt, whether it be he was frozen. There was some madrasas that were using Mickey Mouse and teaching hate to children, and she was very upset about that. Just was a really kind, very down-to-earth person who didn't really appreciate people putting her on a pedestal just because she was Walt's daughter. She was fascinating. She was really, really, really sweet and kind to me. My first interview with her was for our Father's Day story in 2004, I believe. And I figured it would last about 30 minutes, and it lasted almost 2 hours. And Ron came up, and it was at Silverado, the family winery. And Ron came up and did his Mickey Mouse impression. And Ron and I were tight thereafter. I mean, I really, really enjoyed I kept trying to get him to get his story, tell his story. I managed to get him to talk about his career a little bit, but not nearly as much as I really wanted to. And then after Diane died, he fell into the typical depression that somebody who loves somebody after they lose a lifelong mate So I call and check in on him every once in a while. But sadly, the family, there's a lot of stories that we never heard from a man who had a very unique perspective on Walt as his father-in-law and as his boss.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we need these stories to keep them alive,
yeah.
And you know, tell them on to the next generation. So definitely, I thirst for this knowledge. I look forward to hearing more. And you will be seeing us and hopefully some of our listeners out at those future meetings.
They're always welcome. Thank you very much.
I'll get my dues in. Well, thanks, Leo. Great seeing you. It's been, like I said, it's been since the last MouseCon, I believe.
Yeah.
Not last time because I was at the one before COVID. You were Terry, but nice seeing you again. Can't wait to get back with the group.
Thank you.
Winding down here at MouseCon, it wouldn't be a MouseCon without visiting our good friend, Matt Robinson, tattoo artist, busiest man in the tattoo game.
Hey,
what's going on? I mean, this is the 7th MouseCon, and I met you at the first one.
Yep, and been we here since the start.
Yeah, and we talked for years getting the piece. Finally got it done. Everybody loves it. They love sharing your, not just your posts, but, I mean, your TikTok game is just just blowing up, too. So,
yeah.
Man, it's just nice to hang out. Tell us a little bit about what you've been doing, not just this expo, but, you know, just in general.
Yeah, I mean, so coming to MouseCon every year, just trying to bring, you know, some new art. But yeah, like this past year, just going to different Comic-Cons, Emerald City, you know, Star Wars Celebration I was tattooing at, and then just a bunch of other, like, tattoo shows. And then, yeah, this coming year, you know, I still got LA Comic-Con. In a couple weeks.
Yeah,
first week of December, I'll be tattooing there, and then next year, just crazy, you know, schedule too. So, just really busy with tattooing. But these shows are nice to give me a little break of tattooing and just focus on my art.
Yeah.
So,
which I mean, your displays, our dioramas are super cool. I saw the ones that you posted with Mary Gibbs. Boo, voice of Boo, and the Bambi. I forget his real name right now, but
I got that one signed by them, Bambi and Thumper. And then I think I might raffle that one off.
Oh, nice.
So maybe we can do a little raffle for you guys.
We'll talk. And you mentioned Star Wars Celebration. It was cool just seeing you in that tattoo alley, always busy. I don't know, I got this weird pride thing. It's cool seeing friends like Excel, and we were at a local brewery, shout out Logoff, in Sacramento. Ran into a lady that was a big Disney fan. Do you remember her name?
She was the biggest Disney fan.
Yeah, but she had all the, you know, nightmare tattoos. She's like, "Yeah, I'm going to this. I want to go to this tattoo artist. I think he's like in Fairfield or Vacaville." I'm like, "Is his name Matt?"
Yeah.
And she's like, "I think so, Matt or Mark." Then I showed her, and it was you.
Yeah.
And I'm like, "Yeah, this is Matt right here." Then my good friend Tammy up in Portland, she sent me one of your TikToks. Like, "Look, this guy does Disney and Star Wars tattoos." I'm like, "I know."
Yeah, so I know that guy.
It's just very cool. And now this guy next to me is contemplating. We're working on something. If Alex wants to bring that up.
No, I'm ready. I know we talked about it a little bit earlier here today, but I am. We're still working out what it's going to be, but I think it would be fun to do a tattoo while podcasting. So I know I had kind of mentioned to you some of the ideas and things I had going, but I guess the question I just thought of right now was, what's the weirdest, wildest, funnest mashup you've done of like characters or fandoms?
So I don't know if you want to go too crazy, but
Let's go crazy. Let's go crazy.
It's audio, so you can't be, you know, as long as you're not swearing.
I did this Tinkerbell that was a little exposed, I guess you would say. I'll just say that. And then, but, you know, it's always fun to do a mashup of characters. You know, I like to do characters maybe wearing things like from the park, or, you know, just stuff like that, like even food items, just mashing up like with character ears, just things like that. I don't know.
That's a cool idea. So you got me thinking like doing Jessica Rabbit dressed as Tinkerbell for Halloween, or
yeah,
or maybe just like five different Disney princesses, but all trading their dresses.
Yeah, I did. Like I did a Marie that was dressed as Maleficent. You know, as
Maleficent.
Yeah, as she, like if they were trick or treating, but that was a fun tattoo.
Yeah, and I think in celebration, you were tattooing Grogu dressed as
BB-8.
In Galaxy's Edge.
Yeah, so, yeah, I mean, with the background. So that one was super fun, too. That was a client request. And then, yeah, just brought it to life for her at the show.
Yeah.
How long have you been doing tattoos at conventions? And is that something, like, I guess, what's the biggest difference between doing it at a convention versus in the shop?
So regular tattoo shows, started that probably 2011-ish, but actually, like, tattooing at Comic-Cons, stuff like that, probably 2012. I started with the Geekster Inc., like, at Wizard World shows. I think my first one was in San Jose, and then, like, you know, just all over the place, New Orleans, and that was my second, and then just kept going, so. But, yeah.
I think it's cool. Joe was mentioning how, because as we were driving down here, we were kind of talking about it, and I was like, I would think, you know, you're going to get a lot more space in your area than like your typical convention booth or whatever, because you got to have space to kind of keep it clean and stay away from people. And he mentioned that it was carpeted with like a plastic over it, so everyone was kind of squishing through the area.
Yeah, at Star Wars Celebration they did that, but at other shows it's just kind of just the normal floor. But if it is like in here, there's a carpet, so yeah, we would have to throw a barrier down. That way everything's sanitary, and you gotta have the wash station and all the medical stuff out. So
yeah, very cool. And I'm already like, when I was getting my piece from you, I was like, man, this looks badass. I was already picturing like the Imperial version that I wasn't even planning at before. But yeah, I definitely got some plans coming in the future, and you know, just can't, you know, we love sharing your art, and not just your tattoo art, but the art you have here at MouseCon. What's some of the stuff that you got going on over here?
So that I made for the show, I have this Mouseketeer big artwork that includes the records, and made a hidden Mickey out of the records on there, and then epoxied over. There's a couple old VHS tapes that I made into artwork, and then even like the tickets from back in the day I made into some artwork.
Yeah.
Just like to do some original stuff.
Cool. And if people want to look that up, they could just look you up Instagram, or what's your main?
Yeah, so you can do Instagram at mrtattoos89, or Facebook, just Matt Robinson Art, or even TikTok. It's mrtattoos89, I think, as well. I don't know. I have too many things.
Right on. And before we leave, I know they're shutting down here. I want to do a big announcement, but we are at the pretty much what I'm calling the Meet the Robinsons booth. So your wife here is also doing some really crafty stuff. So very cool you guys got going on.
Yeah, she has her own booth now. She does like a lot of kids' clothes, bows, bags now. Yeah, she's blowing up.
Yeah, and I heard your son's already blowing up with bookmarks. So.
Oh, yeah. He's trying to craft and make some money so he can buy more Hot Wheels.
Oh, right on.
Stuff, so.
Well, sweet, Matt. Glad we were able to talk real quick. Always a pleasure seeing you. And, you know, hopefully we'll be able, one of us or both of us will get do a live podcast from Anchor tuned. Tattoo.
Yeah, happen. Let's do Stay it.
Tuned. Absolutely. Thanks, all right, man.
Thanks, guys.
Cheers.
Wow. That is it, folks. MouseCon 2022 is officially over. It was a fun day. It was super cool. I've been what would you say, a patron or a fan, a congoer in the past.
Since the original here.
Yeah. And so to actually have a table here was super cool. Big shout out to our table buddies.
Shout out Sent from Disneyland, Corey's favorite podcast.
Yes.
And my favorite table buddies here at my first con, as well as Disneyland, the Disneyland nurse.
Yes.
And Nurses Day at the park. You can find both Disneyland Nurse and Nurse Day or Nurses Day at the Park. Check the Instagram, as we'll make sure to update the appropriate handles. But check them out. He has got Nurses Day at the Park, the second annual, going on April 27th at Disneyland. A lot of cool stuff and a celebration of those in the medical field day to have a good time out of the Disney parks.
Well deserved.
And of course, Sent from Disneyland, a great podcast, kind of archiving Disneyland postcards. If you follow him on Instagram, I had caught some of his recent lives from the parks where he is doing basically a live photo match with the postcards in the places where they were shot. So definitely give those guys a follow. We hope to get them back on and push record next time.
Yeah. So if you're wondering how come we're shouting them out instead of, you know, having a conversation with them, we were talking and I forgot to push record. So, but that just grounds for bringing him on the show. And a big shout out to also Leo. You guys did hear him on the show from the Sacramento Disney Enthusiasts group. So really fun hearing people or just hanging out with people that just love Disney and, you know, share that common ground. So great convention. Next MouseCon isn't too far away. It will be in Bakersfield, I believe, Saturday, January 28th, 2023. We are planning on going. Hopefully, we'll have a table there again. So, more details on that. And maybe we'll have Steve or somebody from here on the show before plugging that convention. So, I hope you guys enjoyed this live on location. Well, not live on location, but this location recording from location.
As I said before, it's live when it happens.
Yeah,
and right now it's live.
Right now is live.
And when you're listening to it, it'll be live that you're listening to
for
it.
You.
It's just not actually being said live.
Yeah.
But anyway, I had a blast. As I said, this is my first con. I don't want to say like I started small, but I'm glad I didn't start with like the biggest of Comic-Con, D23, Star Wars Celebration.
Like Sean said, yeah.
This is a good way to get my feet wet. You know, I felt like we were kind of in between the, you know, invited guests and panels and the, you know, the vendors. We got to speak to a lot of awesome people. I
meet
came home with a bunch of great swag, so that's awesome.
Yeah.
We met new friends. A lot of good Disney community out of the Sacramento area.
We gave directions to Mary Gibbs, who's the voice of Boo, a couple times.
Yes.
So quick we couldn't get a picture, but maybe next time. But, thank you guys, new friends, new followers, new listeners. Thank you guys for coming and say hi. Hope you enjoyed the candy and the prizes. We had a really good raffle. So it, you know, might have been a little very, I don't know what I'm trying to say, but.
It was.
We didn't cut the raffle basically until everybody was gone.
No, it was wham, bam, thank you, bam. You showed up, you got a prize.
What's your ticket number? Winner!
Yeah.
But so we'd also like to thank our good friends that help support the show, our Patreon, our DU crew. So once again, special shout out to Superfan Jen, Sasquatch, Alfredo, and John. If you wanted to help join the crew, or if you want to join the crew, be part of the show, be part of the crew, just visit patreon.com/DU crew, and you could choose from one of two tiers that best fits you. And you can follow us on our socials and everything else.
Make sure, yeah, if you're not doing it already, what are you waiting for? And we know you're listening, so thank you very much for that. But of course, as always, follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Disney Universe Podcast, and our favorite place where you can see our beautiful faces, Disney Universe TV on YouTube. Make sure you smash that subscribe, as they like to say.
Hit that bell. Be notified.
Notified, all the things. We want to get past that 100 subscriber threshold. It opens us more opportunities to be able to bring you more awesome content, including live content from the parks, from conventions like this. And check us out. We always got new stuff coming. I've got more Disney World stuff coming up there. We'll have our live slideshow coming soon with all our pictures from our trip.
Nice.
Thank you for following, sharing, participating.
Yeah, and if you're at the convention, you happen to like my Powerline shirt, you could check that out at www.discore.com. That's D-I-C-D-I-Z-C-O-R-E. And that's where Disney and music mash Up and Collide. So check them out. We're going to be very busy with some content for you guys, some stuff we are very excited for. This Thursday, myself and Alex and Addie will be going to see Black Panther, Wakanda Forever. So, and I think Ryan has seen it
Friday.
Friday. So somewhere around the weekend, we'll probably get to our review on YouTube. And, you know, it might be live. We haven't decided yet, but it will be up there on YouTube. And then also, very soon, our next show after this will be our big Aladdin 30th anniversary.
Yeah, so be on the lookout for an Instagram post looking for your comments of your favorite moments, characters, songs, attractions, video games, anything involving Aladdin, or at least Disney's Aladdin, as we celebrate that 30th anniversary.
Yeah, absolutely. So, so thank you guys. Hope you enjoyed this episode. It was a fun day, and it was something, I could just gush about it all day, but it was a great day. And can't wait to do it again.
Yeah, I know we said it already, but thank you, MouseCon, yes, for having us here.
Yeah, it's a great convention.
It was probably my greatest thrill as part of this podcast thus far, seeing our picture on the website, yes, right in between Boo and Mama Imelda.
Yes.
So if it's still up there, go and check out the MouseCon website and get ready for their event on January 28th, 2023, down in Bakersfield.
Absolutely, and follow them on Facebook at MouseCon. I think, to look it up, it's Mouse...
Mouse_con, yes, on Instagram.
Yeah, and I think they're more on Facebook, so I think it'll be mouse/hyphen.
Mouse-con.
So check them out. We'll definitely be putting their information in our show notes, and thank you, MouseCon 2022.
Bye, Dragon.
Like me.